last week, and we're going to just dive into the Word tonight and continue our study that we started last week. Last week, we started this series, and we titled the series, Teachings from the Table, the Towel, and the Trials. And so we took that theme as we were surrounding the Easter time, and we began to look at some of that. And last week, we talked about teachings from the table. And we talked about that the table represented something. We went with the Lord on the journey to that Last Supper, and we taught out of that setting, and we looked at that, and we discovered in that setting for us on this occasion that that table represents relationship with God through Christ. That table represented relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ with us, and that when we would come to the table and we're looking at that moment when Jesus would say, "This is my body that's broken, take and eat. This is my blood that is shed for the remission of sins, take and drink. It's the new covenant in my blood." And he began to talk to them about that setting, and they partook of that together. We know the setting when we partake of the setting of communion or the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. But we looked at three areas about this relationship with God that the table teaches us, and that is observance, because we are to observe what is happening. And we talked about the details that were brought out in the stories as we began to look at them, and there was some observance that was going on. And we talked about, if you remember, I told you what you observe, you will place a higher value upon. What you intently are trying to learn and discover about, you'll place a high value on. What you observe, then, you will attempt to emulate. So if you are observing something and it becomes meaningful to you, you will attempt to emulate that. You will attempt to live that kind of life. And what you observe, you will begin to understand better. So we talked about observance, and then we talked about worship. For after all, it is one of the greatest moments of worship that we ever could be a part of or we ever could see happening in Scripture. And you worship the Lord for who He is, for what He has done, and for who He did it for, namely us. He did. He took our place. He stood in our place. And so we worship Him. And then the final thing we talked about last week was the idea of examination. And we talked about the fact that Paul brings that up in his record of what he learned from the table. And he talks about examination, and he says, anytime we come to that moment, we need to examine our lives. And we need to make sure that our lives are lining up with the understanding that we need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. And so we should not partake unworthily, but we should examine and come to the conclusion that we need a Savior. And so last week we learned from the table. Now tonight I want to learn from the towel. And so with the thinking of the towel and the understanding of what the towel is going to represent with us, and if you can turn, if you will, to the book of John, the 13th chapter of the book of John, and I'm going to begin reading. We'll start at verse number 1 of John chapter 13. But as we look at the towel, we're going to talk about our relationship with others. The table, we learn about our relationship with God, with the Father through Jesus Christ. But with the towel, we're going to learn about our relationship with others. Let's look at this together. John chapter 13 and verse number 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." Can you say amen to that? He loved them to the end. That is important. "And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. And then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now listen, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Think about that statement. For I've given you an example that we should do to others as he has done unto us. Think about that. Think of your life. Before we can go any farther, before we continue on the vein that we're going to look at tonight, think of your life. Think of your relationships. How many know we need to observe, like we learned last week? We need to examine. And we need to worship, and we need to examine our lives, and we need to be very observant as we are going through these teachings. And this is one of those moments where we need to examine our lives and be very observant about what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing. And think about your relationships with others, because the Lord has given us an example that what he has done for us, we should do for others. Now, he saved us. We can't save others. We can point them to the Savior, but we cannot save them. How many understand that? So the Lord is not telling us to save others. He's talking about this act of service that he just partook in. And he's saying, the same way that I have served you, you should serve others. Now, think with me for a moment. Who was in this group that he is serving? His followers. Those that believed in him. Those that are going to turn the world upside down later as the Spirit of the Lord would empower them after the day of Pentecost. But in this group also were those who would deny him. Flee from him. Leave him in his darkest moment. Doubt that he rose again. The one that would betray him. But yet, he served them. So there's some examination that needs to take place and some observance on our part that needs to take place, because it's easy to think about serving people that are really good to us. Right? It's easy to think about doing good to those who do good to us. In fact, the Lord even teaches about that. He talks about that. He said, yeah, you're all for doing good to those that have done good to you. But what about those that have mistreated? What about those that have not been so good? What about those that were more concerned about their own interests than your needs? Well, what the Lord is saying in this setting is you treat them the same way I treated you. How many know that can be life-changing? If that concept can get into our hearts, if that mindset and that idea can become the motivating factor of our life, if we can get to the place to where the desire of our heart is to treat people the same way Jesus treats us. Amen. And that's something to consider. And so when Jesus is talking here, he's really teaching about our relationship with others. Okay, let's go back to the Word. In verse 15, he said, "For I've given you an example, you should do as I've done to you." 16, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master." Would you agree with that statement? A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So the greater one would be the one that sent the person, and not the other way around. If you know these things, blessed are you, what? If you what? If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them. Not know them. If you know these things. It's not just enough to know them. Blessing in this case, in the case of servants, service, the blessing of the Lord does not come just because we know to treat others right. Blessing comes when we treat others the way the Lord has treated us. Notice Jesus does not say, treat others the way they deserve to be treated. Amen. How many wish he would have said that? Right? No, we really don't. We think we do, but we really don't, because then that would include us. And that would mean then he would treat us the way we deserve to be treated. Amen. Well, we hear people say, well, they just got what was coming to them. They got what they deserved. Well, we need to be very careful, because when we wish for others to get what they deserve, with the same measure you judge others, that's going to come back to you. Oh, amen. Say amen or oh me or something, you know, yeah. Amen, yeah. So Jesus, I mean, this is a teaching moment. Now, It was an amazing moment in the moment. Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a second. The moment was a magnified moment, a spirit-packed moment, an energized moment, just a miraculous moment in and of itself. But later on, this moment was going to be a teachable moment for these disciples like probably no other moment. And hopefully when we leave here tonight, if we contemplate on this, not because I'm teaching it, but if we contemplate on this and we think about this, hopefully this can become a real teachable moment for us tonight as well. Because it's all about our relationship with others. And remember, he said, if you know these things, then blessed are you if you do them. So you have to actively be involved in this to receive the blessing Jesus is talking about. How many want to be blessed? How many want to be blessed by the Lord? Then you need to have a knowledge of something, and then you need to do what you have a knowledge of. Okay? So this is where we're going to go. And so the towel is going to represent or help us understand our relationship with others. Think about the night. Think about the moment. Now, they don't know what's coming. We can look back and we know what's coming. They're going to go and the Garden of Gethsemane is going to be ahead of them. Jesus is going to pray until sweat becomes as great drops of blood. It's what the Bible tells us. They're going to sleep and they're going to have a hard time staying awake. And then the next thing they know, he's going to wake them up and say, come on, it's time. And they're going to wake up from their slumber, and the next thing they're going to see is Judas walking over to Jesus and kissing him on the cheek. And about that time, then the soldiers are going to come and begin to take him, and there's going to be chaos that's going to ensue, and the disciples are all going to flee for their lives. And then finally, John's going to come and follow along, and he's going to be at the foot of the cross. Peter's going to deny in front of men, women, and children that he ever even knew Christ, and the rest of them are just going to run off and hide. They don't know what's coming. They don't know Jesus is about to die. But that does not take away the significance of this moment, because they recognize Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us, sent by God, God with us to be the Redeemer of mankind. That's why they're following him. They're following him because they believe he is the Savior of the world. Amen. Otherwise, they wouldn't be with him. They believed this about him. And now, he's going to wash their feet. Their dirty, dusty feet. It wasn't like our day. How many of you have ever been a part of foot washings? You know, just about everybody. I don't know how it was in yours, but we always had advance notice. Right? Of foot washing. And so that way, I think the pastor, you know, I think they gave advance notice for a reason. Because they hoped that you would pay attention and hopefully you would clean up before you come for foot washing. Amen. Yeah. Wash up. Maybe put on some socks that don't have holes in them if you have any, right? Amen. But you would come and usually at advance notice, so you know, usually it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to come in, and we don't walk barefooted, and we don't walk in the dirt everywhere we go, and we have concrete, and we have all this, but that wasn't their day. They've got sandals on everywhere they go. It's dust, it's dirt, it's grime, it's grit. Their feet, that's why they would have a servant that would wash feet as they came in order to make them acceptable in the house. But on this night, it's Jesus. He's going to get up, and he's going to do the unthinkable. The Son of God, that's why they're there, because they believe he is the Son of God. The Messiah, the promised one that's going to come to redeem Israel and all the world. The Savior of the world is going to get up, supper being ended, is what John says, is going to get up, and he's going to wrap himself with a towel, put off his other garments, his outer garments, wrap himself with a towel. He's going to get a basin with water, and he's going to go around, and he's going to wash their feet. That, and rightfully so, Peter responds and says, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Right? Can you now see, we probably can't imagine that so much now because, you know, we're ingrained in the American mindset, we're all equal, even though we know that's a true statement in the eyes of God, but that's not a true statement in the eyes of man. Not even in the United States of America. Right? Because I guarantee you this, there are politicians and powerful people that can do things and get away with them that if I did them, I'd be put away forever because of it. We're not all equal in the eyes of this government that's all by the people and for the people and, you know, all that. But we're kind of jaded to this. We don't quite have the same understanding of this. But in places that have lived under rulers and under kings and under strong armed rulers, this would be unheard of. I really doubt if the grand leader of North Korea is walking around washing his people's feet. Right? I highly doubt that. I really doubt if Vladimir Putin is bringing them all in off the streets and saying, "Here, let me wash your feet." I really doubt that. I would doubt the Castro brothers do that. Right? I know he's not doing it anyway. And the other one, is he alive now or did he die? I don't know. Anyway, but they're not. That's not how things operate. And here's Jesus. He's going to wash their feet. So you got to get your mindset around this. This is not like the pastor saying, "We're going to wash feet and I'm going to wash your feet." That's not like that. This is the one you have put all of your faith in that's the Savior of the world. And now he's going to make himself like a servant to you. And Peter says, "No way, Lord." And then when the Lord, Peter, I love Peter. He's like us. He's more like us than any of them, probably. Whatever's in his mind, he says. Right? And then he has to backtrack. "Oh, what? No, Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And then when Jesus explains to him what he's doing, then he says, "Oh, well then here, give me a bath then." You know, he did. Right, he's just, "Oh, you know, wash all of me, my head, my hands, my feet. Go all the way then. I don't want to miss anything. I'll never deny you. I'll die for you." Until few little while later, and he's denied him in front of others. He's like us, but he says, no, Lord. But Jesus said, no, it has to be done because I'm teaching you something. This is how you are to treat others. Wow. What a thought. Now, let's look at this, and we'll just go through this, the towel. So Jesus gets up and he takes a towel, okay? Because we're being taught. We're this whole thing is about teachings from the table and from the towel time. So now we're at the towel moment. So Jesus takes this towel, and the Bible says he girds himself with it, and then he kneels down. So he's going to wash their feet, and then he's going to dry their feet after washing them off with this towel. So what do we learn from the towel on how we are to treat others? From the towel, we learn that towel represents personal involvement in their life. Okay, now, just bear with me. We're going to look at a few of these articles and what they represent to us as we're going to learn how to treat others. That towel means Jesus is going to personally be involved in the process. He's not just going to send others to do it. He's going to be involved. He takes the towel and girds it around him because he's going to wash their feet. He's going to dry them off. There's personal involvement. The towel represents personal involvement. And so what we can learn from this is how to treat others. We must be personally involved in their lives. When given the opportunity, we must be personally involved. It's not enough to send others to do things if you can be personally involved. Now, it's great if you can't be, and we can't be personally involved in everything. We understand that. You got missionaries that go off on missions trip. You got people. We've got Pastor and Sister Carter here with us tonight who have labored downtown, and we couldn't be down there, and so we would send money. We would go on a weekly basis, but we would, you know, you got people that send money to ministries like that. You got ways that people help. We tried to help by going on Thursdays and doing that, but there are ways that you just send help, okay, and that's appropriate at times, no doubt, but that is never to get you out of being personally involved. Amen. How many know it makes all the difference in the world when you are personally involved in serving others? Amen. Here's something I have discovered. Most of you know my background. I was raised in a real strict. You wouldn't. Some of you, if you just see me now, you wouldn't know that. Because I don't probably look the part anymore. But I was raised in a very strict holiness home background. The look part of it. Okay, very, you know, amen. Y'all with me? Very, very, very strict. There was all the, and here's what in the churches that I was raised in, here's what I discovered. Those churches were very, if you want to use the word hard, at times, would view things wrong that were wrong, and they would take hard stands, right? And look at the world or other churches that were liberal churches, be very hard sometimes towards those. And that was kind of the nature. I'm talking about my churches. That's kind of the nature that I was brought up. But here's what I noticed. When those very same things begin to come in and begin to affect people, family members, people within our church that we were personally involved in, the harshness was not quite as hard. How many know it's real easy to be real hard on sin until that sin hits in your family? And we better still be standing strong and against it. Don't get me wrong. But you have a whole different outlook of the person. Come on, are y'all with me? When it's your people. When it's not just those people. When it's your people, when it's your sons, when it's your daughters, when it's your grandchildren, when it's your relatives, when it's your friends, when it's your associates, when it happens in your situation because of a personal involvement, there is a more of a desire to reach out. Amen. That's why personal involvement is so important. If we're going to have kingdom impact, we have to be personally involved. Kingdom impact in our world will only come as we are personally involved in the lives of others. If we isolate ourselves, we will not have kingdom impact. Amen. If we only want our little group that does everything the way we want to do it and nobody else, will never have kingdom impact. If we isolate ourselves, if we will not be personally involved in serving others, we'll never make impact for the kingdom. But what I have discovered is that personal involvement breaks down walls of isolation. If you will take the time to be involved in another's life, service to that person comes easier. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there, talks about that. We're gonna go back, but it says, "I say through the in verse 3, Romans 12 verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We are to work together. We are to be personally involved. As a church, we must be personally involved in reaching out, because that personal involvement breaks down barriers and we learn how to relate with others. I mean, no, if you're not personally involved in another's life, you don't know how to relate to that person. Right? So that's the personal. If I would never have taken the time to get to know Veronica before we were married, I would have never been able to be married to her and to live in a service relationship with her. I would have never been able to do that because I didn't take time to get to know her. Okay, in the body of Christ, what Jesus is teaching the towel is a personal involvement moment. The body of Christ is to be personally involved with one another, and we are not to choose, to pick and choose who we are involved with. We are to be personally involved with whoever the Lord puts in front of us. Jesus didn't say, "Now I'll wash your feet. Now, John, come here. I'll wash your feet because you're going to stand at the foot of the cross. And so I'll wash your feet. But I'm not washing Judas' feet. And Peter, I'm not watching because you're going to deny me no matter what." He didn't pick and choose. Whoever was in front of him, he served. Amen. And whoever he was in front of him, he was personally involved in the process. And I want you to hear that. We need to be personally involved with whoever God brings into our path. In whatever way that God leads us to do that, because that's how barriers are going to be broken down. And so you've got to understand that. The second thing that we see is he has a towel, but then he uses his hands. Again, we got to be observant. If you're going to learn from Christ, you got to be observant. And so you got to recognize what's going on. He rose from supper in verse 4 of John 13, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet and to wipe them with the towel. So it's not mentioned in there, but what is he using? His hands. He's involved. He's personally involved. The towel represented that. He had to gird it. But his hands are involved. And here's what the Lord just kind of spoke into my heart about that. His hands represented his gifts. That's what he can do. The towel, he had to be personally involved in order for the towel to work. But his hands represent his gifts. That's what he's putting to use to make everything else work. And if we're going to be in a right relationship with others, then we have to be personally involved and we have to use our gifts, what God's given us. This is what the church has to do. This is what Jesus said. Do what I've done. You do this. So take the towel. Be personally involved. And then use your hands. Use what I've given you, your gifts. Do you know God gives you gifts so that you will use them? Hands are gifts. If you don't believe they're a gift, try to live without them. Right? And there are people that have to. And they discover how big of a gift that is. And it, because it's given to you in order to use. And so to learn, how are we in a good relationship with others? By being personally involved in their lives as God brings them into our path. Taking the time to get to know them, to be in front of them, to minister to them, to reach out to them. And use your hands or your gifts. The Bible's full of gifts, and do you know all of us are given gifts? There are some gifts that are supernatural gifts, okay, that the Spirit chooses. And we, under 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about those are gifts that take place within the church body. And, you know, the gift of tongues and interpretation would be in there, the discernment of spirits, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, gift of faith, word of knowledge, prophecy, word of wisdom. Those are gifts that God's given among the body. But you know, that's not the only gifts that God's given to us. He's also given people gifts of administration, gifts of helps. Amen. We're all given gifts that we are to be gifts of giving. We're given gifts in order to use those. You can find that some are given in the church. The body of Christ is given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the body, to reach out, to edify the body, that we are given gifts. You can find them. You can find lists in Ephesians 4:12, Romans 12 3-8, 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11, 1 Corinthians 12, 27-31. You can find there are gifts. And some of those are gifts that he's just placed in us naturally. Some of those are supernatural gifts that the Spirit comes upon us as he chooses, as he wills. But it's all about using your gifts. There are gifted teachers, there are gifted singers, there are gifted greeters, there are gifted people of compassion, there are people that are gifted with the gift of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith, but then there are people with the gift of faith that rises up at times that just brings about the things of God, the gifts of miracles. All of these things are gifts. Use your gifts in service to others. Gifts are never to pump you up. They are to help you serve others. Amen. See, if we get that backwards, we mess everything up. If we ever think our gifts are to give us a name, or to make us somebody, or to give us some importance or some prestige, or to pump us up, or to get, well, they've got the gift of this, and so I'm going to run and make me cards and put it out there so everybody knows I've got the gift of this, and I've got the gift of that, and I'm going to use that gift to pump me up. You've missed the whole idea. Your gifts are like your hands. They're given for you to reach out and to help others, to serve others. They are equipping things, equipping gifts in order for you to serve and reach out to others, and again, not to pick and choose, but to use your gifts every time God leads you to. Amen? The same hands that are lifted up in worship to Jesus were the same hands that were lifted out to a lame man and said, rise up and walk. The same hands that would have worked to to provide for themselves are given now in service to provide for others. So Jesus is saying, and what he's teaching us here is the towel. You got to be personally involved. You got to take some personal accountability in this. Don't think you're too good for something. Don't think that's beneath you. No, you put on the towel and you get personally involved in whatever the Lord puts you in your hands to do. And then you use your hands, your gifts, in order to be a part of equipping and helping and reaching out. He said to Moses said, how am I going to do this? And God says, what's in your hand? Everything you need to be what I've called you to be is in your hand. Moses, it was a staff. But for you and I, it's the gifts that we've been given by God, and we are to use those. And so the towel, the hands, the basin. He takes the towel, he takes his hands, he takes a basin of water, and he sets it in front of them as he begins. What in the world could that represent for us? Well, here's what I felt like that may represent for us. That's the opportunity. Just so happened there was a basin there. Amen. It just so happened there was a basin with water that he could take that opportunity and serve them. The basin. So if you're going to have good relationship with others, I'm talking about others within the church and others outside the church. If you're going to have a good relationship with others, you got to have personal involvement. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to use the gifts God's given you, and you got to take advantage of your opportunities. Amen. You got to take advantage of your opportunity. Don't whine about the opportunities you don't have. Take advantage of the opportunities you're given. How many times do we miss reaching out to others because we wanted God to give us different opportunities? Well, what about the opportunities he has given us? Well, I wanted to preach to stadiums full of people. Well, what about the guy pumping gas to you next to you at the quick store? Maybe that's your opportunity. Maybe that's your basin. Maybe that's the door God has opened. And the Bible says when you're faithful over the little things, he'll make you ruler over great things. Amen? So don't miss your basin, your opportunities, because you're always looking for something else. See, Jesus was willing to take the opportunity that was right in front of him. Now watch this. Think about this with me. You know, do you believe Jesus knew he was on a time frame? Anybody? Do you think that night he knew, okay, I don't have much longer, so I gotta impart some important stuff to these guys, these people, right? He's on a time frame. He knows his time is short. He's urgent. So whatever opportunity is going to avail itself, he's going to use that. Here's the problem with the church. We don't live with that kind of urgency. See, when he started his ministry, Kathy, he knew, because he was God, he knew, I don't have this time long. So therefore, I got to be about my Father's business. Every day, everything I do, I got to be working for him. I've got 3.5 years to do all that I'm going to do. I've got one night to impart to them the table and the towel. And the trials are going to see me go through my trials. I'm urgent about this. This is something that I've got. Are you living urgent for the Lord? Are you valuing your time? Are you redeeming your time because the days are evil? Are you taking advantage of your opportunities? The basin that God... Because see, if you'll look for an opportunity, God will always provide a basin. Amen. If you'll look for opportunities, God will always provide something for you to use. It may not look like the way you wanted it to, but that's when you got to remember, but I got to be a servant. Whatever it is, I got to be personally involved, and I got to use whatever gifts God has given me. Amen. If you're like me, it seems like God will use inopportune times. Right? I'll never forget. We'd go to Walmart. I don't go as much with Veronica as I used to, but I, when I used to go a little more with, thank God I've been delivered from that. I just wanted to take a moment and thank the Lord for delivering me from Walmart every week. But when I used to go, there was one girl that it seemed like we got at the checkout counter every time. And you'll know the girl because she's at every Walmart, I think. And she's the one that will tell you everything about her life story. I mean, stuff you don't even need to know. Stuff you wished you didn't know. She'd just tell you. There was a girl at Walmart down here that's how she was, and somehow we ended up every time. Her line was always short. Now I know why. Because everybody else knew her too, and they all went to the long lines, and Veronica and I always went to the short line. She would tell her story all the time, all of her struggles and all of her battles, and it was always something. But the Lord hit me one day as she was talking, and I'm thinking, just check this stuff out. Just beep it and go on, you know. Let's get this show on the road. She's reaching out because she needs somebody that'll care and pray for her. Hey, see, there's opportunities if you look for them. They won't always be the opportunity you thought you wanted, but God will always give you opportunities if you begin to look for them. So there'll always be a basin. So we see towel, we see hands, we see a basin, and then we see feet. And I'm nearly done here because my time is nearly up. And feet represent the person. We're gonna wrap all this up. God wants you to make a personal investment. He wants you to be willing to be personally involved. He'll give you gifts to use to serve people. He'll bring the opportunities. He'll put you in the place to have the opportunity. He'll provide exactly what's needed for that moment, for that opportunity. And then he'll lead you to the right feet. And that's the person that then you are to do with them as Christ. You're to treat them the way Christ has treated you. Amen? Somebody hear this. Anyone that God brings into your path, that's feet. That's a person for you to serve. That little girl on Sunday that you're a waitress, that isn't doing a real good job at keeping your iced tea full because she's trying to wait on 7,000 church people that are all acting just like you. Amen. Yeah, hold on a second, right? Don't get too personal there, Pastor. You know what she is? She's feet. And that moment is the basin. And you've got some gifts that God has given to you to share with her. And if you'll take a moment to be personally involved, you can treat her the same way Jesus treated you. Amen. That's exactly right. So we've got to understand this is how you relate to other people. If we want to be blessed, remember, the whole setting was, if you know these things, if you want to be blessed, do them. If you want to be blessed, then be willing to be personally involved. Be willing to use the gifts God's given you. Be willing to take the opportunities He provides. And be willing to accept the person the way Jesus accepted you. Amen. See, that's how you can, not just strangers, not just people. What about our family? What about our church family? What about people we know and love the most? We should do the same thing for them. Amen. See, that's relationship with others that will lead to blessing. The towel, the lessons from the towel, it takes a heart for others that are in His image. And that's everyone. The towel teaches us that it takes humility to live blessed by God. You have to humble yourself. You have to put your pride down. and the lessons from the towel, for us to live in the blessing of God takes a hunger for God's righteousness. We need to hunger and thirst after His righteousness, right? After His kingdom. If you hunger and thirst for Him, then He'll do all these other things and give you the other things. So, we'll just stop there. And I didn't go into the scriptures. I had the Sermon on the Mount and Galatians 6 and Hebrews 13, 1 through 3 and Matthew 5, 43 and 48 that I could have went into with this. But you know what I'm saying. It's just applying it. And so I want you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to live your life, because this is what the Lord wants you to do. I want you to begin to live your life understanding I got to be willing to be personally involved. So I got to be willing to take the towel. That's a willingness. And then I've got to recognize God's given me gifts that I need to be using. So I got to be willing to be involved. And then I got to recognize and use the gifts He's given me. And then I got to be ready for whatever opportunity He opens up. And then when it opens, then I have to see the feet and I have to recognize the person that He's brought now is the person I'm to serve. And I got to serve them as He leads me to. And help them and speak truth to them and witness to them and reach out to them or whatever the case might be. But most importantly, I've got to treat them the way Jesus has treated me. Amen. Teaching from the table was about relationship with God through Christ. The towel is about relationship with others. If we can learn these lessons, we can live full and complete. Is it easy? No. I really doubt if it was easy for Jesus. Just as a man, we could debate that. Yes, He was God. And yes, He wanted to do the Father's will. But I'm sure the man side, the temptation side was, they should be washing my feet. Because the Bible says He was tempted in every way just like we are, yet He did it without sin. Amen. So let's learn this lesson. Personally involved, using gifts, reaching out for opportunities, and seeing the person. There are people in our world and inside our churches that are hurting. And they just need someone that'll care enough to see them as an opportunity to serve. Amen? And who knows what God can do. Here's another thing, and I'm quitting because I got to stop. His service did not guarantee that they would reciprocate. Judas didn't. Your service to others is not about them responding exactly the way they should or you want them to. Your service is about you responding the way Jesus did to you. Amen. How many know that's freeing? That's freedom. If the Lord tells me to witness to someone, and I witness to them, and they laugh in my face, or tell me to get away from them, or want nothing to do with Jesus, that's not on me. That's on them. I just treated them the way He treated me. Amen? And I did it with the right heart. Okay. So let's have a good relationship with God. Let's have a good relationship with others.